In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Son of Man will visibly return on the clouds of heaven. He will not travel down to us, but he will simply appear, and all his angels with him. And he will come with great power, glory, and majesty. His glory is not his power, his majesty, or even some bright light. But his glory is how he uses that power, majesty, for your salvation. And so the glory by which he comes is the glory of his cross. God does not want to be known simply as God Almighty, but he wants to be known as God your Savior. The judgment does not set aside his cross, but reveals the end result of his cross. The Son of Man comes as the crucified, and yet as the risen Savior. And his divinity will shine through his humanity with far more brilliance than even on the Mount of Transfiguration. All nations will be gathered before him, for when he returns, all the dead will be raised. Every man lost at sea or in battle, every child who died through a miscarriage or was aborted, every woman who succumbed to cancer, all will be raised. Yes, even the worst criminals, those who were executed for murder, and everyone who died peacefully in his sleep at a ripe old age, all will be raised. Christ's voice will pierce their graves, and their bodies, long turned back to dust, will awaken once more, and they shall hear, and they shall move, for Christ comes to raise the dead. We who are still alive will see all of this. And yet it will bring us no fear or no terror. For at the moment that the trumpet sounds, that is the very moment we are changed. The very moment that we see Jesus with our own eyes is the very moment that we are now like him forever. Again, this is not some long, drawn-out, painful process. But the fallen flesh will be stripped from us in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, so that we shall be glorious even as he is glorious. The moment that those angels carry us to where Christ's judgment takes place, we are already changed. We are already holy and glorified. So there will be no fear, no terror, no wondering what side we will be on or what Christ will say, for we will already shine like him. All fear will be gone, all terror gone, all pain, all suffering, all tribulation gone. And our bodies will be restored back, well, not even back to a former glory, but our bodies will be all that God intended them to be. At that very moment when he appears, we shall be like him, and then comes the judgment. Now, asking Christ questions does not mean that we are sinful. It just simply means that we will not know everything. Being glorious doesn't mean that we become omniscient, all-knowing, like God. We will know what we need to know, and we will be content with that. And yet St. Peter writes that the works that are done on the earth will be exposed. Then you will see the good works that you have done as Christ himself sees them right now, as works of love done for him. The world takes little note of the list that Christ provided. Those actions do not blow up on social media. The news does not run a cycle that you gave someone a cup of cold water. But Christ takes note. So parents, you have done all of these things for your child. You may have seen it as a chore or an obligation, but Christ sees it as done out of love for him. When you changed the diapers of your children, it was no different than Mary changing Christ's. When you fed your kids, it's no different than Mary feeding Christ. Your kids probably don't say thank you, but Christ will. So see in your kids, Jesus. See in your spouse, Jesus. See in your pastor, Jesus. See in your friends, in your family. In fact, anyone that you ever come into contact with, see them as Jesus, and so treat them as you would treat your Lord and Savior. For whatever is done for them is done for him. Now even the most menial task, even the most burdensome chore, is a great work done in service to God. But what about your sins? Will you still remember those? Yes. But you will not be embarrassed, guilty, feel guilty, or ashamed of what you have done. For how could you rejoice in the mercy and love of God if you have no recollection of a need for his mercy and love? Christ's glory is not simply that he is God, but that he is a Savior God. So if you knew no sin, would he not then be deprived of his glory, honor, and majesty? Would he not be deprived of the love that he has shown you and the salvation he has worked for you? Rather, as we recall our sins, Christ will be praised, honored, worshiped, and glorified for having saved and redeemed such weak, sinful creatures and making us glorious. We have no business being in heaven. And yet there we stand because of the blood of Christ. Heaven already rejoices over one sinner who repents. So how great the joy will be on that last day, as a great multitude, as numerous as the stars of the sky and the sand of the seashore, all deserving of hell, yet all saved by the blood of Christ. And our song will shake the very foundations of heaven itself. For the more that we recognize our sins, the more we see the depths of God's love for us and the power of his atoning blood. And that is true even right now. The more you recognize your sins, the more you see the great depths of his love for you. If you think that you have but one or two sins, then you are saved from but one or two things. And Christ is revealed as a little Savior. But if you confess the sins that you know and the sins that you do not know, along with your own sinful flesh that condemns you for just being alive on this earth, then Christ has saved you from every word that you have ever spoken, every thought in your mind, and every action you have ever done, for all is sprinkled with sin, and he has saved you even from what you are by nature. The more you recognize your sins, the more you see the great depths of his love, that he did not travel down to earth to redeem you, but he went down into the very depths of hell to pull you up out of hell. And so we recognize the more that we meditate on God's commands, the more we learn them, the more we will recognize our sin, the more our sins will be revealed. Ignorance is bliss, but only for this earth. A Savior is bliss forever. The Lord is patient with us. He does not strike us down the very moment that we sin, but he allows us to go on. He leads us to repentance by his word. He calls us back to himself through his word. Through his word, he exposes our sin. Through his word, he calls us to confess that sin and to repent and to turn away from it. And then through his word, he forgives us all our sins. And so today, Christ has come to judge you. He has come to judge you to be holy, innocent, pure, spotless, because of what he has done for you. And the glory of the Lord shines around you from those pierced hands as he now says, "Take and eat, take and drink, for the forgiveness of your sins." And we are filled with such joy as heaven itself shakes from the song of the angels and archangels and all the company of heaven joining with us, that God would forgive us unworthy sinners. Yes, our sins may still bother us. Yes, we may still feel guilty from what we have done. But we confess that we are not Because of the blood of Christ, we are not guilty. God is greater than our sins. So as we wait for his return, as we wait for that public judgment to happen, we do not sit around idle. We serve Christ. Wherever God has put us, we serve him. Even at the last day, we will not sit around idle, but we will be quite active. We will judge with Christ. We are not the chief judge, Christ alone is, but we will be his aids. When the unbelievers are condemned, we will speak our approval. Christ does not need it, but how highly he has exalted us. St. Paul says, "Don't you know that you will judge even angels?" Not only are we heirs of heaven, but we are co-rulers with Christ and co-judges of all things with Christ. For he will not leave us behind or forget us. But wherever he is, whatever honor he has, he willfully shares with us. And then the wicked will be sent to everlasting punishment, and we will be brought into the eternity of his glories. The present heaven and the present earth will be destroyed with fire, and God will remake it. It will be more glorious than the world Adam knew, for it will be the home of our glorious, perfect bodies. There will be no sun, moon, or stars, for Christ himself will be our light. There will be no need for food, drink, or even sleep, for we will be like Christ. And we will live in perpetual joy, gladness, peace, praising and honoring and worshiping our Lord and Savior who redeemed us by his blood. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.